This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 WILL Urbana and online at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Well, it's the first Friday of the month, the first Friday in August, and the first Friday of the month is the day we talk about dogs here on the Afternoon Magazine, and our guests, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel, are back with us this month. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month to talk about dog care, behavior, and training. So if you've got questions about dogs, give us a call. Talk to Jim and Carol. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Good to see you.
Boy, this last month flew by, didn't it?
I know. We're almost finished with summer.
I know.
Almost.
Almost.
But the heat and the humidity.
Yeah, we want to talk about that today a bit.
Okay.
How dangerous it is, because we forget how dangerous that is. And we have an event this weekend. Do you want to talk about that, Jim?
All right. At the building, when we say the building, we mean our training building. I forget people out there have other ideas
That's
what
true.
A building might be, but for us in
We're
the
proud
club,
of our building.
Yeah, it's the building. At the building this weekend on Harrison Ford Road, we're having a trial, 2 days of obedience trials. It's a slightly different venue from the AKC. It's the UKC, the United Kennel Club, which is a fairly old club, but they're more performance-oriented. And this particular UKC club is out of Bloomington, and they're going to use our building for their obedience trial Saturday and Sunday. I think it starts...
Oh, 8:30 is always a safe bet.
Yeah, 8:30 or 9, and we'll go until
they're
done judging.
Yeah,
they don't have quite as many people showing in UKC events as we have in AKC events, but probably between 8 and noon, mm-hmm. be safe.
Okay. It's fun. It's a little more informal.
And the public can come out.
Oh, sure.
Public is invited.
It's good for people to come out and see what their dogs are capable of doing, and we always encourage that.
Now, leave your dogs at home, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't bring them in the building, and it's just too hot to leave them outdoors.
Yeah. All right.
Way too hot to leave them outdoors.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about the heat in just a moment, but we've got a listener who's ready to talk with us, and so we're going to talk with this caller on Line 1 in Champaign. Hi.
Hi. I have a rescue bulldog who is 4 years old, and we were told she was housebroken, but she's not. We've had her checked for urinary tract infection, which she did have, and she's been treated for that. But she continues to, if I lock her in the kitchen during the day, she's fine. But the other night, she walked into the living room right in front of all of us and just squatted on the carpet. And I've never had to housebreak an adult dog before. Any suggestions?
Housebreaking an adult dog is not that much different, if at all, from housebreaking a puppy.
There's no difference at all.
Yeah. The one problem you're going to have, as you're finding out, is that having peed around the house from her UTI, the odor is still there, of course, and she kind of thinks it's okay to do it, even though she doesn't have a UTI anymore. But same thing, anything you would do as a puppy, keep your eye on her.
I'd put her in a crate. I'd crate her.
There are certain times when she's more likely to go, you know, right after meals, right after drinking, and get her in the habit of going out. There's nothing, you know, different from the puppies. The puppies are somewhat different depending on how old the puppy is. Because they haven't learned to control it yet. This dog has and either has forgotten or doesn't want to. So that's slightly different. But the training is the same. She has to learn, you know, there are certain times that she can do it and certain times not. Whatever you do, don't. People use the traditional newspaper whacking the dog. But
no, I don't do that.
Okay, good. But as soon as and the problem is, especially with females, they can squat and pee before you can say, you know, Jack Robinson. And so when she does it, just hurry over, get her out, have her go out. You trained a dog to ring a bell.
Yeah,
you?
See, she needs to teach the dog to give her a signal.
Mm-hmm.
And
so far, the only thing we notice is if she's kind of up walk, because bulldogs don't walk around much, that if she's up moving around a lot, she may need to go out, but she doesn't give us a signal like
yeah.
walk to the door or.
Yeah, that's what. How long have you had her?
We've had her about a month now.
Okay, so you haven't had her very long, and this is a good time to start to teach her to let you know that she needs to go out. And this works so well. It worked for me. I didn't have a problem. It was teaching the dog.
Oh.
That just sounded awkward to me. I hung some bells on the back door. So you want to use the same door consistently to let her out in the yard. And teach her to ring the bells. And so at her height, you'd want a little bit longer string of bells, like Christmas bells, you know, that come on the wide belt material.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you're going to have to do this over and over and over again, but ask her if she wants to go out and take her to the door and hold a treat by the bell. And as she goes to get the treat, she's going to nudge the bells, and that's going to make the door open. You're going to open it then, and you go out in the yard. And that will enable her. She'll learn to let you know that she needs to go out by ringing the bell. But you just have to be consistent and patient. And one day you'll hear that bell ring, and it'll be the happiest day of your life. I guarantee it.
Last night, after we took her out at like 11:30, and she squatted, got up this morning, and there was a pile in the bathroom. So I don't get it.
So she's urinating and defecating in the house?
Yep.
Well, she's not house trained.
Yeah.
Obviously. But
yeah.
During the day, when she's closed in the kitchen, which is an all, you know, solid floors, no carpeting, she can hold it the whole day.
Well, she's capable of holding it all day. That's not a problem. She just doesn't know enough to let you know that she needs to go outside to eliminate because she probably wasn't house trained.
Well, she was a show dog, and I expect she was either in a kennel or a crate most of her life.
That's correct. Then I would guess that she wasn't house trained, not in the sense of the word that we think house trained.
And once again, when do you feed her?
She has, right now we have dry food down all the time, and she gets wet food in the morning.
Okay. Well, what you want to do is make it a little more formal for meals.
Okay.
And because she's going to go not long after she eats. And if you're free feeding her, you'll never know when she's eating. Especially after you go to bed, she may get up for a midnight snack, and that'll start the whole process. So, you know, with a dog like that, it's hard to judge. But judge how much food she should get a day. You can even split it into two meals or three or how many ever you want. But whatever you do, make sure she's been walked and you don't feed her
after they eat dinner.
After a certain time at night, you know, depending on when you go to bed and things like that. But don't feed after, you know, let's say 9 o'clock or something like that. That way, if you go to bed at midnight, she's had time to go out and do her business and come back in. And then there's no more food for her to get until later. I suspect that she's holding it all day because you feed her in the morning, as you suggested, and then she goes outside, does her business, and, you know, then for the rest of the day she can pretty much hold it. But if she's eating late at night, especially after you go to bed, then she may be holding it till 5:30 in the morning, for all you know. I mean, she may be holding it for 6-7 hours, but not before you get up.
Yeah.
So make the meal a more formal thing. And whatever you do, don't let her have food after a certain time at night. I don't know what time, but I picked 9 o'clock just for no particular reason.
Oh, mine eat before we have dinner, and that's mm-hmm. it for them.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with giving a dog two meals a day or one meal a day or three. But she's going to keep doing this unless you take control over her food.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, smile. I don't hear a smile in your voice.
Hang in there.
Well, the only reason I didn't want a dog now is because we're not home during the day to do this on a consistent basis. So it means that we have to do it on weekends and at night.
No, you're fine. If she's holding it during the day, that's okay. You'll do it when you get home in the evening.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, and okay, she's not house trained. So you have to use the same objectives and strategy you would with an 8-week-old or 9-week-old puppy.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks a lot.
Okay, you're welcome.
Good luck.
It is hard.
The good news is, though, with an older dog, you do have the urgency isn't like it is in a puppy.
Oh, yeah.
And the control is much greater.
Much greater.
And then the other thing that I remember from when we trained dogs, when we had dogs as a kid, is that when you took them outside and you kind of stuck around, if you know what I mean,
yeah.
And then when they eliminated, it was like,
the happiest moment of your life.
What a great dog. You're a wonderful dog. You know, and then you reward the dog with praise and, you know, with a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon.
Pretty much the same way we learned how to.
Yeah. Pretty soon.
If memory serves.
Stars.
Stars
wouldn't do it for a dog, would they? He'll star.
No. Or a stamp. No.
M&Ms.
Stickers. No.
Yeah. No, Andy wasn't house trained. And, you know, her cage card said partially. Well, sorry.
Hardy
I mean, she's
hard.
Not. Yeah. And, you know, she didn't take to ringing the bells like Robbie did. I mean, he just took to it right off the bat. But she would follow him. So mm-hmm. I guess she was doing it vicariously in her own little mind. But it didn't take long. I think 2, maybe 3 weeks before we had it down pretty pat. But I'm gone all day, too. I go home at noon. But it was just, you know, she was crated and then she was confined. And now she's got free run of the house. But she's now 11 months old. So.
Mm-hmm.
The time goes real quick, but it gets frustrating. It does, but you just have to put that aside and deal with the actual problem.
Consistency and positive reinforcement.
And patience.
Mm-hmm. Patience.
Yep.
Any other questions about dogs out there? They're welcome this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana are with us this afternoon. We talk about dogs on the first Friday of the month here on the program. The number to call in the Champaign-Urbana area if you'd like to talk with Jim and Carol, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Let's talk about the heat.
The heat.
Carol.
Yeah, okay, so this week, well, it's been hot for how long now? 3 weeks, 2 weeks? Excessive heat and humidity?
10 years, I think. It seems that way.
Global warming. But this week it was brought home to me pretty hard because a good friend of mine lost her dog this week. Very fit, athletic boxer. So there's a key right there. Was taken for a run by a house guest. He wanted to go for a run. And he said, well, you know, can I take him with? And she's thinking, nah. Okay, because he'd been in the house and antsy. And he took him at noon on Tuesday. At noon. And after about 20 minutes, she was starting to get a little anxious. And with that, there's pounding on her front door. And it was him without the dog. The dog had gone down. And he died that night. He went into cardiac arrest, and it was a very young dog. But I think people, you know, we know these things because we're so, you know, connected with dogs in one way or another. Dogs aren't going to let you know that they're too hot. He just collapsed. That was the last he moved. They're not going to let you know. They'll always want to go with you because they want to be with you. What did I read? Somebody sent me. They don't watch the Weather Channel, okay? And so you had a situation this entire week where your humidity and your heat were just about equivalent, and they cannot, their bodies cannot handle that. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Chihuahua, a boxer, or a Golden Retriever, or a Malamute, they cannot do it. And when that internal core temperature reaches a certain point, and she got him into the shower right away to cool him off. She knew what to do, but it was already too late. Because his core temperature, after 5 minutes in the shower, was 106.7. And I think it's at 107 or 108 that you have cell and tissue and organ breakdown. Mm. And it's starting the dying process. That's why we lost all those heads of cattle and this week all throughout the country, the poultry died. But anyway, so he was running for 20 minutes, and it was a young, healthy, active dog. So it wasn't his physical condition. It was the fact that their bodies cannot cope with that kind of temperature. And even today, though the humidity's reduced, it's still very hot. And you just don't do it. Take him for a walk at night. I walk mine between 9:30 and 10, or get up early in the morning. And I'm sure I knew of this one because it was a friend of mine. Mm. I'm sure there were other dogs in our community that met the same fate this week. I saw a girl Saturday, and I tend to be a little bit outspoken, but not in a bad way.
No, not you, Carol.
But I was coming, and I don't have any air conditioning in my car right now. It's broken, so I knew how hot it was. I didn't have that fake air on me. So I'm driving somewhere through Urbana Saturday, and I saw a girl, and it was about the same time, 12:30, somewhere around there, and she was running a big, heavily coated Australian Shepherd, and she was running, not trotting or walking, she was running. Well, I yelled out my window. I said, "Shame on you." And she looked at me, and I thought, "They're going to get calls to the Humane Society about me," but I couldn't, it was just totally involuntary. I couldn't help myself, but I thought, oh, dear God, that poor dog. You know, that big, heavy coat. And although we talked about that the other night, Jim and I were talking about it, and sometimes the coat helps, but in this case, it's not the coat, it's the factors that are affecting their ability to transpire.
I think the shorter-coated dogs in the sunlight are in more danger than the heavier-coated dogs,
mm-hmm.
because the heat gets to their skin a lot faster. Like the Malamutes have a double coat. This does not mean you leave long-coated dogs out in the sun. It just means that the sun isn't going to get to them as fast on their body. Equally, though, for all dogs trying to breathe, the dog's main cooling system is their lungs. They can sweat out their paws. They can sweat a little out of their mouth. But mainly they take in cool air and they exhale it. And that's what regulates their body temperature. They have no pores. They can't get rid of heat through their skin the way we can. So that's why, especially like a boxer that has what we call a brachiocephalic face.
Thank you. I can never pronounce that. Smooshed in nose.
Smooshed in. Or the
bulldog.
The woman with the bulldog. Friends of mine years ago had a bulldog that they left in the car on a day like this, and it died.
And that's why they die. They die because their
body cool
overheats.
Down. Yeah,
they're breathing in hot air.
They're sucking in hot air, and it isn't cooling their body down.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're running or active and they get excess heat, they can't get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
and their body temperature just starts going up.
Yeah.
And what to do? Get to the vet as fast as possible, but immediately, as this woman did, you've got to cool them down. And putting them in the shower, putting cold towels on them.
Yeah, and wiping the pads of their feet, pouring alcohol on it, and that includes, because she didn't have any rubbing alcohol handy, so she used gin, but any kind of anything that will make the pads evaporate.
That's water. Something else, too, in the heat of the day, even if you're going very slowly with an animal, just
that's
think
right.
of their feet on pavement.
Oh, yeah. That hurts. That burns.
Well, that's where they're trying to lose body heat is through the pads of their feet, and they can't.
Pavement is hot enough to,
It's adding to the problem.
Yeah. So if you can just avoid taking them out in this kind of weather.
Put cold – what you don't want to do is put them in a cold tub.
No.
Because that will shock them.
Okay. So like a shower.
You can put little
cool
bits of
towels.
Ice between their legs.
Their stomach.
Cold towels. Yeah. But
cool off the groin area, the armpits, the tummy.
And of course, get on the phone to the vet right away.
Yeah. You can't fix it at home.
Whenever you hear stories like this, the pattern I've noticed is there's a routine and it's broken. And this applies to people where kids are in the car or old people in the car. Everybody, the routine is broken. Everybody thinks somebody else is going to do something. Or in this case, it's unusual. Okay, go ahead and run. So you really have to watch out for your animals and children, for that matter, when it's hot and something unusual is going on and the usual person watching over it isn't available or isn't there. Because why? Because prevention is what you have to do with this. Once the heat starts, the dog overheats, it's a real problem. Mm-hmm. And even if they cool down at home, you got to get them to the vet.
Oh, it's essential.
They can go into shock. They can have heart problems, all kinds of things.
Well, he did. He actually was hemorrhaging. The vet was on alert that they were coming in, so they were ready for it. They knew what the situation was, but his temperature was still too high, and they did everything they could that's supportive. But he started hemorrhaging that afternoon because his organs were basically just breaking down and everything. And then he went into cardiac arrest about 8 o'clock that night. So, and his survival rate was given They gave him 5% chance.
Wow.
So that's bad.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Champaign on line one. Hello.
Hello. My question, I guess, is I have a couple dogs that just love to run, and I take them out early in the morning, but can you trust them to, I mean, I sort of just follow them around, and they'll run back and forth, and they'll run through fields out in the country, and they get soaking wet because of the high humidity at times. And I wonder, can you trust them to know that they're to stop when they're getting hot?
No. They'll stop. They'll collapse. Now, some dogs won't go out. They don't even want to go outside if it's too hot. And then some won't go out if it's too cold. But they're out there. They live in the moment. They love to run. They love to play. But the damage is occurring. And by the time they stop, they're too hot.
Yeah, it's a kind of thing that expands fairly quickly. They're building up body heat, and they're building up body heat. They're also shedding some of it. It's just that they're not shedding enough, and their body temperature is building up. And the problem with this kind of heat prostration or heat stroke is by the time you see the symptoms, you already have a problem, all right? And there are dogs. A border collie I had, I didn't have him. He was at the house. I kept throwing sticks. This dog would chase sticks until the end of time. He didn't care if it was hot or cold, or he just wanted me to throw a stick. And he would, I felt he would do this till he was dead, which is kind of the opposite of the Malamutes, who won't chase anything. But if your dogs spend a lot of time outside, if they're not, see, this dog wasn't used to running, and he was kind of being forced to run in a sense because he was running along with this guy. If left on to his own devices, when he started to feel hot, he probably would have stopped, or he wouldn't have been running like that in the first place. Or he would have been running on grass where his feet weren't getting hot. So while you can't trust the dogs to say, you know, I'm getting hot, let's stop, unless there's something unusual, if you're walking early in the morning, the dogs are used to being outside, they're not you're not forcing them to exercise, they're going at their own rate, the chances that this will happen are much, much, much smaller. But your other question is, can I trust them? No, you can't. You got to keep an eye on them. It's like I remember when I was a little kid at the beach, you know, we'd run around. It was so exciting to be at the beach and everything. And finally, Mom would say, that's enough. We got to go in. And my feeling, and I remember it, was, no, that's not enough. You know, I could do this all day. And not realizing that I couldn't do it all day. So you're the human. You know, keep an eye on them. Make sure they don't show the signs, which signs, by the way, are they'll start to stagger. They look dizzy. Their tongues will go way out.
Their gums will get pale.
But they'll loll their tongues. Just as long as they can get them out, because they're trying to. The tongue is a cooling thing. Those, you know, just kind of unusual type of behavior. Hope we've answered your question.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks,
but it's when it's when the temperature and humidity are. People. Mom and Dad live in Florida, but they lived in Illinois their whole life. And people in Florida will say, oh, it's cool. They think of the Midwest as being cool, and everybody thinks Florida is so hot. It's hotter here. It truly is. It was hotter here all this week than it was for my parents. And so when you've got and Floridian dogs, you know, I see them when I go down there, and I think that you don't see them out during the day very much. You just don't. Can't do it.
Well, I think they kind of become accustomed to the temperature, to the area. And what happens here is if we have dogs even that are outside a lot, suddenly and without any particular warning, the heat index is up over 100. Well, there wasn't any slow buildup to that. We had really nice weather, I thought. It was in the 80s, not real high. I remember we were going, oh, this is a great summer. And then suddenly this comes on. Well, the dogs, even outdoor dogs, aren't that used to it.
No.
And so they're still active in a way they were before, and it can lead to problems.
What do you guys do with the males? Because they, you know,
we had everybody in the house.
Yeah.
in the air conditioning.
Yeah.
Can you picture that?
You couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a melon.
Come on in.
And they didn't like it. You know, they didn't like being crated for a week. We were hearing about it until finally yesterday we were able to. Now, that doesn't mean we kept them crated for a week, but we'd let them out maybe 10 minutes at a time. And the other thing, you know, we've got hundreds of trees. It's fairly cool on our property. But even so, we let them out 10 minutes. They're back in. In constant cold water. And so there's a lot of shade, a lot of cold water, not very long outside, and then they're back in. But even, you know, getting out for 10 minutes four or five times a day wasn't doing it for them. They were going,
and that's,
let us out, let us out.
Yeah, that was the case with Rugby. You know, he was getting a little stir-crazy cabin fever, and he was a very, very active dog anyway. But, you know, she just should have listened to her little voice that made her stop and think about it. Because we're their stewards. We have to take care of them. They're dependent upon us for everything.
What about some activities you can do inside? In the air conditioning, if they get a little
I did this last night. I was talking to a friend of mine. And you know those busy balls I used to have? Well, this is made by Kong, I think, and it twists together. It's not an annoying ball that they push. But you put your little treats in there and twist it closed, and you can adjust the amount of closure so little treats won't fall out. And I say, here, go at it. And they just had a ball. They just carried that all over the house and pushed it around and got some treats, and then I'd refill it. And you can do just a little – it's like, okay, if it's 20 below, you think of certain things to entertain them inside the house. So it's just, you know, just too hot to go out. But I think, too, I noticed with mine and
– I've had dogs breed at 20 below.
Well, yeah, I know.
And I said, okay.
That's not an activity, indoor activity she was thinking
of, Jim. Okay. No, but I mean, it was like, if you guys – are that interested,
that kind
of I'm not coming outside to stop you. Well, but the point is dogs can handle cold a lot better than they can handle heat, a lot better. Even, I mean, Malamutes notwithstanding, Malamutes can handle, they're Arctic dogs, so they go 20, 30, 40 below. Just your average dog freezing or 20 degrees really doesn't bother them that much. But the opposite is not true. They can't handle heat as well.
Robbie's smart. He doesn't like to go out in this. I'd have to put, actually, this sounds so cruel, but he has to go to the bathroom. So he wasn't ringing those bells this week, I can tell you right now. But I'd put his leash on him and walk out there with him. I thought, I'm not going to abandon you out here. I've taken you in and out every day of your life. But he was like, it's too hot.
It's funny to see the Malamutes. They go up the stairs, out of the basement. It's nice and cool because we're air conditioned, and they open the back door. They hit this wall of humidity, and they just stop and they turn around to go. No, I don't want to go out. Yes, you have to go out. Just
for a minute.
Your business. We'll see you in a few minutes. But boy, they didn't want to go out.
Yeah. Well, the Weimaraner we had when we were kids, when there was snow on the ground, I swear she was on her tiptoes. She just. Gingerly.
Didn't like it.
No. So I'd always go out there with her, stand with her.
It's good to go out with them now and then. Just make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. That's like the lady with the bulldog. And I had a couple call me last week that listened to our show, and they called me at home. And it's not always easy for people that are house training a dog to go outside with them. But unless you do, you're not going to be certain that what's supposed to be happening is happening or has happened. So as inconvenient as it can be, back to house training, I guess I segued there, you'd need to go outside with them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need to go outside to realize how crummy it is out there. Would I like to be out here? No. So.
Well, just to show you, this morning was a lovely morning this morning.
It was.
And I let we still have some the puppies in the basement. One of the older puppies I let out, and she's getting a little stir crazy. We have a hollyhock and a bird bath out in the back, and she dug a hole right between them. and I couldn't see her head, so that's how deep it was. And the little puppies that are about
they're cute. I saw them the other night.
3 months old. They were gray and white, and now they're black and white. I looked at them. I went, I'm going to let Robin deal with you. So as I was leaving, I said, Candy dug a hole and the puppies are filthy.
Did you call her from the car?
See you later. No, as I'm leaving. I don't want to say that Robin sleeps till noon.
Oh, you don't want to say that on the radio?
No, because it would embarrass her. But, you know, Robin sleeps till noon now that she's retired. So I guess she's tired and not retired. But
that sounds like a pretty good plan to me.
Yeah. The way I'll tell you.
Robin's grateful we have a phone call now.
Oh, good.
It's probably her.
Yeah.
Let's talk with a listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, that's you. Go ahead.
Okay.
it's not Robin. Good.
I would also like to remind people that have black-coated dogs.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of weather is really hard on them. That's the only negative thing that I can think of about black-coated dogs. I'm calling because I don't know if you remember me from years ago with a black retriever named Higgins.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, after Higgins passed, I decided to adopt from the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I've had three dogs from them, and I really, really encourage people to adopt from a Humane Society. And I really encourage adopting older dogs.
Good for you.
They've all been the loves of my life, sweetest dogs. And older dogs, they really seem to be so grateful, I think.
I think you're right.
And they're really good with kids. I mean, they do temperament testing at a lot of the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll really match you up with what you're looking for. And the last dog that I've adopted, I have two. I always like to have two dogs. Walter, I have to say, you know, I like to adopt some with medical problems, too, because I know that they might have less of a chance. But I have to say that the vet that you have now out at the Humane Society mm-hmm. is excellent.
Yes, she is. We're very
absolutely
proud of her.
Absolutely excellent. So I would really encourage people to adopt black dogs. For some reason, you see so many of them in humane societies around the country, and I don't know why that is.
It's a phenomena.
They're lovely.
Yeah,
they
but
really
people
are.
Don't see them. There's websites devoted to that whole.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember the name of it now. I was just there a few weeks ago, but big black dog syndrome.
Yeah.
Well, they're harder to see.
I guess. I don't know what it is.
And a person's eye is just drawn to a lighter colored dog.
Yes.
I mean, it's.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do think that there's also something, too, when people call in and they say, intuitively, the dog and you match up. That's happened to me with the last three dogs that I've gotten from the Humane Society. I would have an idea in my head of what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of them ended up being a little different as far as looks and stuff goes. But they've all been wonderful.
That's good.
So I really encourage people to think about an older dog.
Mm-hmm.
Go to our Humane Society. It is a great place.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks
I think it's
call.
Called bigblackdogs.com. That can't be our black beauty dog. It's something like that, but it's a true phenomena. And that's why our shelter a year ago, we painted all the floors blue.
That's a good idea.
Because then, you know, on concrete, you really don't see a black dog. But on the blue, there's a better contrast. So, but it's still, people just don't tend to gravitate toward black dogs.
Well, I will tell you one little funny thing and I will hang up. Wally is a black dog, and the shelter had named him Walter. So when I call my son and grandson's family, they know I'm a dog lover. Well, anyway, I told them about Walter, and my little grandson, who is 8 years old, started laughing. And I said, "What's so funny?" And he said, "Grandma, don't you know I got the book called Walter the Farting Dog?" So his name is Wally.
Walter the Farting Dog.
Oh.
There is that book. It is pretty funny.
Anyway, good program.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call this afternoon.
It's a really unusual topic, but the book's a huge hit.
I've never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
With kids, for sure.
I used that as an excuse. I have Neelix that I'm training in agility. Neelix is black and white. And we were outdoors, and it was kind of a hot day, and they were doing like 15 jumps, and Jim was getting tired, and I was trying to...
Were you jumping with him?
Well, I had to run, you know,
the
circuit, and everybody was outdoors, and everybody's going, "Oh, that was fun. Let's run again." And I said, "Oh, my poor black and white dog out in the heat here. It's just terrible." And I'm going, And Neelix was fine, you know.
Yeah.
How do older animals do it at the shelter in terms of finding homes? I mean, we're so pleased with the 5-year-old cat that we adopted. He's just fabulous.
Yeah, older dogs, you know, it's a fact of life. Everybody wants a puppy. Most people want a puppy.
And why?
Because
they're such a pain.
They are. Right.
They are disobedient. They don't know anything.
They go to the bathroom.
They go everywhere.
They bite you.
And you know what? And I didn't mean to interrupt. But
you didn't.
You know what people say when I say, well, maybe you should consider an older dog? They say, oh, I want to train the puppy myself. And I go, well, how many puppies have you trained in your life? Very rarely any, maybe one. And I said, well, I've trained hundreds of puppies, and I'm here to tell you, you don't want to do it. You know, let somebody else go through that hassle.
It is.
You get
a
dog that's, you know what its temperament's going to be, you know how big it's going to get, you know what its coat's going to be like. It's trained.
They have a longer attention span.
They have a longer attention span.
They have an attention span.
They have an attention span.
It's. And why we got 2 puppies now? They spend their time. They scream at me all the time.
Oh, Tuesday night,
they pee everywhere.
One was screaming because Robin walked away, and this one wanted to be with Robin, didn't want to be with Jim, and you could tell like he was killing it, and all it was trying to do was get over to Robin and get away from him. You know, this week was sad in a way, but then this weekend was so nice because another good friend of mine and I were at the shelter. And this wouldn't be qualified as an older dog, but she was a 9-month-old dog, so she's past that cute puppy stage, but she's almost an adult. Very nice dog. She adopted her. She couldn't be happier with this dog. Couldn't be happier. They bonded immediately, got along fine with their other dog. She's not quite house-trained, but that's just a small issue, you know. She's not house-trained in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, you know, she's just ecstatic about this dog, just so in love with her. And they've only, you know, it's only been a week, but it's everything she could have hoped for, everything she would have wanted. And she's not very big. She's like 35 pounds and a little brown and a little black and kind of nondescript. I didn't even see her in the shelter, so, you know. And Tamara saw her and stopped, and she called me back, and she said, I really like her. Let's get her out. That was it, you know. But people, they had a little golden mix there that I really liked, but people tend to go towards lighter-colored dogs, and just the way it is.
Hmm.
Black dogs, we've always got black dogs, and black cats.
Let me throw it, well, a book by a guy named Coppinger called Dogs. He and his wife wrote it. Oh, 4 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting book, extremely interesting. And in it, one of the smaller points he makes has to do with ancient breeding. And when I say ancient, maybe thousands to tens of thousands of years ago. And he talks about the phenomenon of breeding to white males or breeding white or lighter colored dogs, that in certain areas, the coat color, which has nothing to do with anything, the dogs were selectively bred for their coat color. And so we tend to have lighter colored dogs here and there. Obviously, they're black dogs. But he talked about that phenomenon in the book. So it's not something that just happened last week.
No.
It's been going on for a long
time.
Because isn't a black lab a very popular breed?
Very popular breed. And the shelters are full of black labs and black lab mixes. But a yellow lab comes in and they go right back out the door.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They get adopted quickly, very quickly.
Hmm. What about gray?
There aren't any really many true gray dogs that I can think of. I think of poodle as gray.
Well, in my own breed, Malamutes, they wrote the standard and were accepted in 1936 by the AKC. We have the first white male champion in the U.S. And that was about 10 years ago.
That was Tommy.
It is Tommy.
You've seen Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
50 years went by. And it's not that there weren't any good white dogs for show. Nobody shows them. Nobody likes them. Except me.
Oh, he's a beautiful dog.
Oh, he is a beautiful dog.
I have a picture of him.
That's right.
As a matter of fact,
that's our official photo.
You need to
We need to update that, don't we?
Because
that's me and Hulky. And you look so young in that picture. So did I.
Yes, let's keep that one.
We had that for a little while on our website. Get a new picture.
We need a new picture because we've got new family members.
Yeah.
Well, we'll cut the heads off of the old photo.
How's your girl?
She can see now. One of our fellow club members last week was giving me we were evaluating her for her fly ball potential, and he said, she can't see because she's got this shaggy face. And it was true. It was a couple days before, and she had come to the back patio doors. I thought, how can she see? I mean, it was like this solid mat of hair, bangs, and shagginess and everything. So I took her in, and we trimmed her face, and she was like, all the world. She's got these big brown eyes, you know.
We're in Champagne.
She doesn't miss anything now. And I think that's something that we all need to remember. I just thought it was cute. I didn't really give a lot of thought to the fact that she was probably visually impaired by all this hair on her face. And David said she can't. Well, she could chase a tennis ball and get it, but he just said she can't see. I said, she can see. Well, she can't see as well as she could if you had all that hair off of her face.
I bet she looks really cute.
I was going to bring her today, but I didn't have time. But I'll have to bring her one day.
Actually, I think she looks better.
With her haircut?
Yeah. Where you can see her eyes.
I'm in Jim's class with her on Monday night. After my class, I go into his.
Yeah, the problem with having Carol in my class is in training, we don't agree on anything. And it's not unlike here. And
But I just go up and whisper to her.
Yeah, she goes up, you're doing that wrong. This dog needs this and this and this. Get away from me, girl.
Yeah, then he gives me these evil looks.
Well, speaking of the club, you've got the UKC event.
And that is a lot of fun. It's much more relaxed than
AKC. And that's this,
yes,
this weekend.
Saturday and Sunday.
Around 8:30 a.m.
Yeah, 8:30 to noon, 1 o'clock.
Okay.
I'd go about 9 or 10, probably.
Okay. And it's not worse than... Forreston. Listen to me.
What are you saying?
I'm trying
Ford
to
Harris
think.
Road?
Ford Harris Road.
Harrison Forreston. Ford.
Harrison Ford Road. No, it's Ford Harris Road.
Yeah. And Route 45.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
And you know, you can't see it from 45 anymore because the corn is so big. Did you realize that? You can't see it.
The heat and the humidity. Okay. Corn, the love of it.
Yeah.
And all that rain.
One last question here before we have to wrap up. What's the difference between UKC and AKC? I mean, is... I don't think
they're
I,
two
I
different,
have,
or, and there's a third one,
UKC.
Continental Kennel Club. Mm-hmm. There's a third.
CKC. UKC, I'm sorry, the AKC is a little older, 20 years older, probably 25 years older. The UKC, the AKC technically is a breed, is a dog registration organization.
That's what
they put on events, but their chief purpose in life is to register dogs so that you can say this is a purebred because. Its parents were registered with the AKC. That doesn't mean they're good or bad. It just means
that's all it means.
Their parents are registered. The UKC they're not that interested in breeding. They're interested in performance.
So mixed breeds can be registered with the UKC.
You can show mixed breeds at a UKC event, and
which is great.
And they focus, and they don't really register dogs for purposes of breeding. I don't think.
I don't think they do either.
So you can register your dog and get they do agility. They do
They do everything.
Everything, yeah. And
and they accept all the breeds. Like, okay, Golden Doodle could be registered with the UKC. They'll accept that.
Their breeds are a little bit different. They have a thing called a pit bull, whereas in the AKC you have Staffordshire, Terriers, okay. Bulldogs, things like that. There's not a thing called a pit bull. So there are some differences in breeds, but and the UKC I think was started around the turn of the century. I mean the 19th century, so around 1900 somewhere.
Interesting.
Yeah. It is.
There are a lot of clubs in the country. The AKC is just the biggest.
Okay. Well, there we will leave it until September.
Oh,
see you in September.
Are we going to be on? When is the first week? I think that's the second. I think.
Let me see. I have a calendar here. We'll quickly look at this.
Go to my palm.
It's the first. It's September 1st.
Wow.
Are you going to be here?
Sure.
Good.
Well, who knows?
September 1st is the first Friday of the month in September.
I like it when the first of the month falls on a Monday. We should just, that should just be made a mandate. It just makes more sense. Doesn't it make more sense?
Well, the last time,
I don't know.
Last time they did that to the calendar, there was rioting. And
that's right.
So Labor Day is the 4th. Okay, very good.
Yeah, we'll kick off a long weekend for everybody.
All right, that sounds like a great plan. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Take care. Have a great month.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.